You know, all we can do is give the invitation. I'd rather clear the house, make sure everybody's a believer, than have one person in the house that's not. Amen. Hallelujah. I just pray that God just fire up people to just bring in the lost and bring them in the house. Amen. Let me tell you what, sinners, they would love these meetings. I'm telling you, you'll be amazed. Sinners love these meetings. We've had meetings where I've laid hands on people before altar calls and people are all on the floor under the power of God. And then I give an altar call and people that are lying on the floor give their heart to Jesus. They're lying on the floor. They're already on the floor. They raise their hand. I need to accept the Lord. I need to rededicate my life. I need to make a fresh start. What a great place to pull them off the floor. Get them saved and then put them right back down again. Amen? You know, sinners are looking for something real. In most churches you go to, it's all dead, dry. Hello? But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. So sinners come in the house and they see people drunk or happy or full of joy or something going on. They just like, my God, is this how church is? Uh-huh. This is how church is. Amen. Amen. We actually come to church and have fun. Hallelujah. That's what we do. We come to church and have fun. There's a lot of people that went to church today that are bored. I'm telling you, they're bored. They couldn't wait to get out of there. Hello. Some only went to church for an hour and a half and actually got there late and left early. I'm telling you, that's what happened today. They showed up 20 minutes late for the morning service and they left 10 minutes early. Hello. Not here, they didn't. Amen. Love the anointing. I love the anointing. Amen. Mark chapter 5. We're going to talk a little bit about the anointing here this evening. Then we're going to lay hands on people. How many of you need prayer? How many of you want prayer? How many of you don't know what you need? It's always people, they don't know what they need. I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Spend a lot of time in the Gospels. And I love to meditate and see the life and the ministry of Jesus. Because I look at it this way. If I'm going to imitate somebody, let me imitate Jesus. I've had people show up at my meetings back in the early days. And they would say to me, you know, we've been in your brother Rodney's meetings. And we've come to see your meetings and see how much you are like to him. So I'd say, look, you know, we have the same father, same mother. We might talk a little the same, walk a little the same. But I said the administration of what we do is totally different. Hello. God didn't make him and me, you know, we weren't pressed out of the same dough. Because we're 2 years apart. Hello. Amen. So God's going to use us differently. But the end results are all the same. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost moving. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost moving. I've had a few people do this to me, but they've come up and said, man, we've been in your brother Rodney's meetings, and we've been in yours, and we actually like your brother Rodney's a whole lot better. I go, thank you, Jesus. Ooh, that made me feel good. Praise God. Now step out back. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I just laugh at it. I go, oh, you know, that's fantastic. Now, I did have a couple of people come up to me and say, you know, we've been in your brother Rodney's meetings and we've been in yours and we like yours a whole lot better. So I say, go tell him. Hey, don't tell me, tell him. I've had people come and argue with me. You know, hey, Brother Rodney, how are you doing? I'm like, no, I'm not Brother Rodney, I'm his brother Basil. No, you Brother Rodney. I'm like, no, I'm his brother Basil. We know Brother Rodney and you are he. Okay. I've showed people my driver's license. I said, look, there, my name is Basil Hunt Brown. They look, no, you're Brother Rodney. I'm like, okay. In actual fact, for years, I always thought I was building my Brother Rodney's ministry. Really. I've been in church in Texas for 3 weeks, baptized 550 people one night. I mean, just a glory outpouring. And a guy came to the pastor on the Friday night and he said, man, we're so thankful that you had Brother Rodney here for the last 3 weeks. I said, did you tell him it's his brother Basil? Oh, no, I didn't have the heart to tell him that. You know, I'm up in the river preaching on a Sunday morning. My brother's out of the country, and I'm doing the Sunday morning. And I'm talking about my brother and the ministry and what God's doing. And a lady gets me after the meeting in the foyer and says, why do you keep talking and referring to yourself in the third person? You say, Brother Rodney this and Brother Rodney that. Why didn't you just say me or I? Why are you, talk about the third person? I'm like, because I'm not Brother Rodney. I'm his brother Basil. She looked at me like I'm half whacked out of my tree. You know, the administration is different because we have different personalities, but the end results, it's the Holy Ghost. God's still doing it. He'll take any vessel. As long as the vessel just lays down on the altar and say, God, come, bring your fire, change me, do whatever you want in me, he'll raise you up and use you. And he'll use you the way you are, but the end results will all end up to be the same. People get saved, healed, delivered, set free. Hello. Fire, God falling, joy breaking out, people getting drunk, falling on the floor, running the building. Hello. Well, because it's God. If I want to imitate anybody, I want to imitate Jesus. I can't imitate him if I don't know what he did. So I've studied the life and the ministry of Jesus, and I've studied the laying on of hands. And I prayed about this one day. I said, how come Jesus saw miracles like he did? And the Lord said to me, because Jesus would tell people to do something. Take up your bed and walk. We'll lay hands on people, and then, they're in a wheelchair, and we go, be healed in Jesus' name. Jesus would have said, take up your bed and walk. What is that doing? It's causing faith to rise up on the inside of them, and when you start operating in faith, the miracle comes. Are you listening to me? It's like, those that don't know this, the other day I was riding a lawnmower in the yard, mowing the grass. And some people mow the grass, some people smoke it, but I mow the grass. Now, I'm mowing the grass, and the riding lawnmower, I put it at full speed, because I figure the faster you drive the riding lawnmower, the quicker you can mow the grass, right? Well, I hit a bump, and the steering wheel jarred and really tore my muscles in my shoulder, and it was so bad Sunday morning. I mean, I didn't even come to church Sunday morning. It was so much pain. Well, Sunday night, I showed up in the meeting, and I just figured, my God, you know what? Tonight, I'm going to get healed. I'm probably going to get healed tonight. You know what happened? I got healed in the line praying for people. I prayed for these folks down this way. Come back here, my wife and I. And we get over here. I started laying as the second person I laid hands on. I felt the glory go into my shoulder. I went, oh yeah, I feel that. That's the start of the miracle. I'm walking through the building doing this, People must have thought, my God, what's the matter with that boy? I was watching by way of the internet. They must have thought, that guy's gone loopy. I'm swinging my arms around. Totally healed by the power of God in the meeting. In the meeting. Why? Because of the anointing. Hello. I just felt the anointing hit my shoulder and I said, you know what? This is the start of the miracle. When I got into bed that night, I mean, it felt like I'd never hurt my shoulder. And I've never had anything since. Oh, you listen to me. But it's all about the anointing. I keep telling people, place a demand on the anointing. People say, well, where do you go to get healed? Right here. We've determined this over the years. When the devil attacks our family with sickness, I have a healing meeting. I just call a healing meeting. Let's have a healing. Let's pray for as many sick people as we can. Because I figure if you attack me in that area, then I'm going to attack you back. And I'm going to lay hands on everybody that moves. And if they're all sick, we're going to get them all healed. And my daughter 1 year was attacked by the devil. And I know we did a three-week healing revival in St. Louis area. Laying hands on sick people. I mean, we saw everything happening. God just performing miracles. Legs growing out, arms back straightening up. I mean, just crazy stuff on a continual basis. And I just said to the devil, you attack my family, I'm going to come right back and attack you. Now, what he doesn't know is I attack him anyway. When he attacks our finances, we just up the giving. Hello. Amen. He come along, try to put depression on us. We'll have another drink. Amen. And then we go find other people that need a drink and we give them drinks too. He come along trying to put depression on you. Go find some sad people and get them happy. And say, now, devil, you want to put depression on me? I'm going to go find some more people that are depressed and we're going to get them happy. I'll keep doing this until you don't, you know, until you stop. And then when he stops, keep doing it. You know, listen, all we are is the vessel. All we are is the container. God is not a respecter of persons. Hello. I believe God is going to use every believer in these last days. Now, not to say that every believer is going to stand on a platform like we are. But every believer is going to get people saved. They're going to get them healed. They're going to get them delivered. They're going to get them set free. Because the same anointing that's flowing through us is going to flow through them from the same throne room of grace. And everywhere you go, you will see signs, wonders, and miracles. I don't believe there's going to be one believer that's going to be left out of this move of God that we're coming to. Hello. It's like setting the tails of the foxes alight. And then they're running off and just carrying fire and carrying revival. And everywhere they go, suddenly revival breaks out. I mean, imagine if everybody here tonight was so full of the Holy Ghost and so on fire for God. And then you walked out of these doors and then tomorrow, wherever you went, people started getting healed and delivered and changed. And joy breaks out in the workplace and people getting drunk in the spirit and they have no clue what's going on. And I'm just pandemonium starts breaking out. Imagine that. I guess we might be showing up here tomorrow night for another meeting. Hello. Because suddenly the house will be filled with people coming in, drunk in the Holy Ghost, people that have never been in church before, coming in and getting saved. Are you listening to me? It's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen. We're going to fill places like this. They're going to be packed with people, hungry for the things of God. It's coming again. You'll see. It's coming again. It's coming again. Sometimes I think it's just, you know, it's not up to God. It's really up to us. What are we going to do with what God is about to do? Let me tell you what. The anointing of God is not here for wealth. Listen to me real carefully. We cannot use the anointing of God to create wealth for ourselves. Even though God anoints us for wealth, we cannot take the anointing and use it to gain wealth. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Do you understand that? Sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but I'm not contradicting myself at all. There's an anointing for wealth, but I cannot use an anointing for healing to raise a crowd so I can get more wealth coming in. Are you listening to me? What God is doing is pure and it's holy and it should be untouched by man. Let me try that again. What God is doing is pure and it's holy and it should be untouched by man. This anointing is not our anointing. It's God's anointing. And it's pure and it's holy. That's why God wants to purify the vessel or the carrier and get rid of the things of the world that would so easily beset them and so easily hold them back and really contaminate what God's doing. Listen, when with you in the kitchen and you want to have something to eat and there's a dirty plate, you wash that plate first. You do not take a dirty plate with old food that's dried up on the thing and put it on your table and start putting new food. It doesn't work like that. And if you do that, then stop it. You don't take a dirty bowl that's been, you know, had some food in it, and now you want to put some new food in that bowl, but it's dirty with old food in it, and you go, well, I'll just put it in the same bowl as food anyway and put it back in the fridge. You know, you put it in a clean bowl. God, come and fill me with your anointing. Come fill me with your presence. And God's saying, well, I need to clean you out first. No, God, just use me as I am. No, I need to clean you out first. I need to purify the vessel. I need to get a new wineskin. Let me tell you why some people got touched by the power of God but could never contain and keep what God gave them is because they never allowed God to change the wineskin. So there was new wine put into an old wineskin and they leaked. Some people walk around leaking. Hello. And there's not a spiritual Depends that you can wear that'll contain the leak. Hello. How can we carry for 23, 24 years now the glory and the anointing and the presence of God, and it's never faded, it's never diminished, it's never gone any less. In actual fact, every year it just seems to be getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? Because we allowed God to come and purify the vessel, change us on the inside. We are not the same as what we were back in the early 90s or 91, 92. 93 came my transformation, and I've never been the same since. And tonight can be your transformation if only you let God do whatever He wants to on the inside of you. God, purify me, change me. Yeah. So when you pour that anointing in me, I can be a carrier. And you know, by Thursday or Friday or Monday or Tuesday or next week or next month, I'm not running dry. We don't run dry. Hello. Because we continually are filled. Be ye being continually filled with the Spirit. We are continually filled. And we give out and then God fills us some more. We give out and God fills us some more. But it's an ongoing basis. But we never run dry. Hello. I can be out of a meeting for a week or 2 weeks. And when I need the anointing for something, I mean, it's there. It's on tap. Hello. Thank you, Lord. I can be out of church for 2 weeks, hanging out with the family on a vacation or whatever, and something, we need the anointing for something, and listen, we can just tap right in. I don't have to say, well, hang on, I need to go and spend 5 hours on the floor before God, wailing and, you know, crying out and begging God for some more. It's already there. It's on tap. We can allow that anointing to flow through us anytime, anywhere. If some of you would just see what God wants to do through you, you would not believe it. I'm telling you. Some of you are limiting God to what you think He can do through you. Because you know yourself, although you think you do. Hello. When God's anointing comes, it transforms us on the inside, and then things around about us, they start changing. Suddenly the opportunities that start coming up, and when you grab a hold of those opportunities, suddenly there's favor, there's anointing flowing, there's a river flowing from the throne room of grace, and then suddenly you start to see miracles happen, and you go, wow. I mean, listen, there's miracles that have happened over the years in our ministry, and I actually think they're talking about somebody else. Because I can't put myself in that position going, no, it wasn't our meeting, it must have been somebody else's meeting. You know, when you're in a meeting and you hear the voice of the Lord, and then you go after that, and then whatever you're going after suddenly materializes in the meeting, you know you're hearing from the Lord. Amen. I did a revival meeting here in Texas 1 year, and the Lord said to me, there's somebody here that has a bad report, their baby's not well, and you need to pray for them, and I'm going to heal them. I'm going to heal the baby tonight. And I called on the meeting. In the middle of my message, I stopped. I said, there's somebody here that's pregnant. The baby has, you got a bad report. God is going to heal your baby. And a lady stood up, and she was pregnant, and I looked at her, and I said, no, not you, but you keep standing. And the easiest thing for me to do was, come on out. Yeah, praise God. You know, let's get over this. You know what I mean? But I said, no, that's not you. And then another lady stood up. I said, not you either, but keep standing. And then another lady stood up, and I said, no, not you either, but keep standing. Now, three ladies are pregnant. I could have picked any one of them and, you know, prayed for them and moved on. But it wasn't the one. The Spirit of the Lord says, that's not the one, that's not the one, that's not the one. Well, I started walking down the aisle, and I got towards the back of the church, and there was a lady sitting there, and she didn't look pregnant. She was sitting, her father was on the outside of the aisle, and then she was sitting on the inside. I looked at her and said, come here, lady. You're the lady. So she comes stand in front of me, and I mean, I couldn't tell that she was pregnant. She actually was only a few weeks pregnant. She raised her hand. I prayed, power God, knock on the floor, and I laid hands on the other ladies and carried on with the meeting. And she come along and tell me this miracle now, just a few months back. She said 22 years ago, 23 years ago, we were in Cleveland having revival. And this is what happened. And she said, that night, I thought my father had spoken to the pastor, and the pastor had spoken to you, and I was mad at him because he told the pastor told you, and then you zoned in on me and picked me out. And she said, I realized that that wasn't the case because my dad said, look, I haven't spoken to the pastor at all. But this baby was diagnosed with Down syndrome. She showed me a picture of this young lady at college, 22 years old. Beautiful young lady. She said, this is my daughter. She was in the womb when you prayed for her. And she said, that baby was born, no Down syndrome at all. And the doctor said the baby would probably not make the birth. And there was a very good possibility that she might have some issues as well. But listen to this carefully. God healed the baby. When she gave birth, she did not want to see the baby because she was thinking Down syndrome. And then they brought the baby to her and she went, oh, God, you have the right baby? Is this my baby? Now, that could not have been done by anything else but by the Spirit. See, it's not something, when you're flowing with the anointing, it's not something you're thinking in your head. It's got nothing to do with what's going on in your head. Because, let me tell you what, your head will do cartwheels. It'll flip out. It'll do cartwheels. Because your head is trying to, you know, reason everything out in the natural realm. And you know, your head is like, just pick the first person. No, man, pick the first. No, take the second one. Come on, man, what are you doing? But the Spirit man is going, no, that's not the one. That's not the one. That's not the one. Let's go down here. We'll find the one. You're the one. Come here quickly. See, that's the Spirit. Now, let me tell you what. When she shared this testimony, I could not relate it to myself. I thought, oh, she's sharing a testimony about something that happened in somebody else's meeting. Are you listening to me? Because in the natural, it's impossible. Hello? In the natural, it's impossible. I had somebody come up to me the other night after the offering teaching. They said, man, for the last 30 minutes, you know, I'm a businessman and you read our mail. You read our mail. I said, oh, I'm sorry I did that. I didn't mean to. It's illegal. Of course, he was very thankful and he said, we're going to make some adjustments, make some changes. But he said, you read our mail. Now, I didn't know I'm reading anybody's mail. I have no clue. I'm just saying things by the Spirit as the Holy Spirit gives me whatever I should say. Why? Because he knows what you need. The worst thing I can do is show up with a 3-point sermon and hit on my points that I've got. And now listen, you'll get something out of it. But if I show up and minister by the Spirit, by the anointing, you get a whole lot more. Not only will you get a whole lot more, you get set free. Hello? Have we read any scripture yet tonight? Have we? In the message, we did? No? Offering. Okay, well, I don't really know where I'm at, but you know, let's just read a few scriptures, yeah. Talking about the ministry of Jesus, the anointing. Look at this in verse 25. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things and many physicians, had spent all she had, was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. See, this is faith. Right now, we are about to read faith. She said, if I could touch Buddy's clothes, I shall be whole. She did not even want to get the attention of Jesus. She said, if I can touch his clothes, I will be made whole. Because she heard of Jesus, she knew what he was carrying, and she said, I've got to get what he's got. Verse 29, Bible says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Listen, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt that she was healed of that plague. Straightway, the moment she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, straightway. Look at verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the breast and said, who touched my clothes? So that tells me that the anointing of God is tangible. That tells me you can feel the anointing. I feel when I pray for people, I feel the anointing flowing into me. And I feel it flowing out of me. I'll say, there it is. I feel it right now. That's it there. That's it there. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it going out of me. Oh, you listen to me. It's tangible. When I get on the phone and I talk to people across the country and they say, please, can you pray for me about this? Or, I'm sick or whatever. Listen, I get out and I pray and I feel the anointing of God on the phone right on me. And I'm thinking to myself, if I feel the anointing of God on me, then they feel the anointing of God on them, because there's no distance between God, me, and them, even if they're on the other side of the country. I mean, I don't want to get into all the methods that Jesus used, but speaking is one method of releasing the anointing. Hello, we can release the anointing by the words we say. That's why you can pray for somebody on the phone, and on the other side they can be 1,000 miles away, and on the other side they go, oh man, I feel the anointing, I feel the glory, I feel the presence. Hello? Jesus felt the anointing going out of him. That's why he stopped and turned and said, who touched my clothes? Now, there's been times where, you know, we've been around church for many years, and I know ministers have ministered this way, that, you know, when they feel the anointing, they want to lay hands on people, and they want to lay hands on people really quickly, because they'll feel the anointing for a certain time, and then they won't feel it anymore. The moment they don't feel the anointing anymore, they stop. I know of great men that have done that. That's the way they've operated. And so, you know, I'm praying for people, and I feel nothing. I feel absolutely nothing. But everybody I lay hands on, the power of God is knocking them on the floor, and the power of God's touching people. And I said to the Lord one day, I said, how come they feel everything? I don't feel anything. And the Lord said this to me, I never want you to go by feeling. I want you to go by faith. So he said, all you have to do in a meeting is lay hands on people by faith, and I'll move. Now there's many times I feel the anointing, and there's sometimes I don't feel anything. I mean, I know the glory of God's there, but I don't feel the tangible anointing like they're feeling it. Are you listening to me? You know, the worst thing you can try to do is work yourself up into a place where you can feel the anointing so that you can operate. You don't want to be doing that. You want to just trust God, have faith in Him. It's not, you're not the healer. You're not the Savior. You're not the deliverer. You're not the one that can set people free, but Jesus is. So all you have to do is do what Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Go cast out some devils. Hello. Freely you have received, freely give. And it's not by what you feel. Now, there's some times where you do feel it. Thank God for the feeling. I love to feel the anointing. But I don't want to run my ministry and run my life on what I feel. Amen. We've seen some miracles happen in people's lives when physically I'm at my worst. I feel like death warmed up. But other people, you lay hands on them and miracles start popping. Why? Because if I went by what I felt, nothing would happen. Are you with me? You getting something out of this tonight? Now, look at this, the disciples, and thank God for the disciples, because, you know, I look at the disciples and go, thank God that Jesus picked these boys. Really, I do. I thank God that he picked these boys, because I figured this, if Jesus could pick them, then there's hope for us. Come on now. Amen. One was a thief. One must have been a Democrat, because he lied all the time. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Moving right along now. Okay. Get over it, people. Okay. Listen, verse 31 says, And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched thee? Listen, the disciples always looked in the natural. They were always looking in the natural realm. Should we go and buy 200 denarii, about $40 worth of bread, and feed these people? How do you want us to feed these people? What do you want us to do? Let's send them away. These are the plans that the disciples had. Something had to happen to these disciples, and it happened on the day of Pentecost. And then all of a sudden, it was totally different. Totally different. Oh, glory to God. I feel that. Not that I'm going by feeling, but I feel it. Hallelujah. Something happened on the day of Pentecost, and those disciples' lives were transformed, and they were never the same again. The one that denied Jesus three times was the one that got up on the day of Pentecost and began to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Signs, wonders, and miracles, people getting saved, healed, delivered, set free. Why? Because of the Holy Ghost. Because of the fire of God that fell upon them that day. Because of the anointing. Let me tell you what the anointing of God does when you're full of the Holy Ghost and the fire of God's on the inside of you. There comes a boldness. There comes a boldness on the inside of you that you will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ no matter what people think, no matter what they say, no matter what they do. That's why Jesus could do what he did when he went into the synagogue and he healed on the Sabbath day. And the Bible says there was those that were sitting there began to commune with one another what they could do to Jesus. They were mad. They were furious in him. How dare he come in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and heal? Who does he think he is? We've got to do, what can we do to this man? And even in all of that, he never backed down. Hello. Bible says he knew what people were thinking. He never backed down. Why? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God. Hello? Jesus did signs and wonders and miracles because he was full of the Holy Ghost. He got baptized in the River Jordan. When he was baptized in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove and lightning, and the voice of God was heard. That's what baptism does for you. Hello? You're not going in confused and coming out wet and confused and, you know, I was dry and confused and now I'm wet and confused and I still don't know what's going on. No, you get baptized in water, you can have a life transformation. That's what can happen. Amen. We've seen people get baptized in water and demons come out of people. We figure demons can't swim. Hello. I mean, we've seen some amazing miracles in the tank, but that's what Jesus did on the day of Pentecost. I mean, sorry, when he got baptized in the water. That's what happened on that day. And then the day of Pentecost was the transformation of the disciples. He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was already done in her. She was already healed. Came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Look at verse 29. It says, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And then down in verse 34, Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. So when she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, she was healed. But when she came to Jesus, he said, thy faith has made thee whole. It's the difference between a healing and being made whole. Hello? The difference between the two. My. See, this is the realm. This is where God wants us to live and walk in this realm of the anointing. Everywhere we go, the anointing of God's upon us. Anytime we need it, day or night, we can release it. You might be the only light that somebody sees in this dark world. You might be the only hope that somebody has. We don't have time in a crisis to get ready. We have to be ready before the crisis. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. If turmoil hit the nation, what are you going to do to get ready? You're going to hit your knees quickly and pray for 2-3 days. You might not have 2-3 days. Are you listening to me? We should be ready at all times that if anything happens, out of our belly comes the river of life. Out of our mouth comes the word of God. Out of our spirit, man, it rises up and begins to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that only comes because we're full of the Holy Ghost. Because we have the anointing of God on the inside of us. Because we laid ourselves on the altar and said, God, come and burn out all the dross. Change me, set me free. I do not want to be the same. A year from now, I don't want anybody to recognize who I am. 2 years from now, I don't want them to recognize me again. I mean, I want you to change me from glory to glory to glory. And I can't get hungry for people. I mean, my God, I can try to preach people hungry, but I can't get hungry for you. You have to get hungry for yourself. Revival, revival, revival. God, revive us. Revive us. Change us. Set us free on the inside. We're hungry, we're thirsty, we're desperate. We've got to see God come and shake the body of Christ. He's got to come and shake the church. The church is asleep. The church has fallen asleep. There's a remnant of believers that have raised up in these last few weeks to pray for the election. But let me tell you what, on the whole, the church is asleep. And I don't want the church to go back into La La Land because now we have a president in the White House that we prayed for. Now's the time we've got to press in even more. Because now's the time to see a great move of God come on this church and on the nation of America. God's got to come and change us. You think because we have a president in the White House that loves the Lord or is open to the believers to do what he wants to do or do what God wants to do in Israel and all this stuff, and he's a conservative, do you think that that's going to stop the enemy from the attack? Absolutely not. They're going to turn up the heat. And I can tell you right now, we as believers got to turn up the heat too. We as believers have got to turn up the heat. And I don't know any other way to turn up the heat than spend a little more time with Jesus. Spend some time with your Heavenly Father. Get into the Word. Get into revival meetings like this. Get full of the Holy Ghost. And carry the fire and the anointing of God wherever you go. We are world changers. That's what we are. We are world changers. I can tell you right now, the devil ain't seen nothing yet. He ain't seen nothing yet. Because what God's about to do in these last days, I'm telling you right now, it's going to take every religious devil by surprise. They're thinking one thing, but I can tell you right now, it's going to be something totally different. Something totally different. The river of God will flow into this place and then flow out of this place and touch people on the highway as they drive by. It'll be a drive-by touching. I'm telling you right now, you watch and see. There'll be people that'll come off the highway and be compelled to come in here. Well, we were just driving by. We felt something when we came by that church. We had to come in. What's going on? Oh, it's the glory. It's the glory. It's the anointing. It's the joy. It's the Lord. I mean, I feel like we're that close. I mean, I just feel like we are that close, Brother Joe, just that close. Just something is going to just spark like that. I mean, it's going to be all over. I just feel it like we're that close. I just can't hold back right now. I just cannot hold back. Because if we're that close, I want to press a little more. I want to press a little harder. Listen, don't get me wrong. I love what God did in the 90s because it changed my life and set me free and my family and so many people. But it's just a taste of what God's going to do in the last days. It was just a taste. It was just a taste. We ain't seen nothing yet. We cannot turn on the television and watch Christian mumbo jumbo. Listen to me real carefully. We cannot turn on the television and watch Christian mumbo jumbo. We should be putting on the air so that the world can see the demonstration of the power of Almighty God. That's what they should see. Because the world thinks we are like them on TV, and we're not like them on TV. Hello. I've watched a lot of local stuff all over the nation, and let me tell you what, it is dead. I mean dead. You know, they get up and they minister a sermon. It's like explaining to you, hey, I have a roadmap. See, here's where you got to go. Here's where you are now. Here's where you got to go. And when you get there, oh my God, blessing, this, that, and all the wonderful stuff there. But they never tell me how to get from here to there. But they tell me what's going to be there. I'm not interested in what's going to be there. Tell me how to get there. I'm trying to tell you how to get there. I'm trying to tell you how to get full of the Holy Ghost, get on fire for God, so you can go to the place that God wants you to be, so you can be used of Him in the last days. Every message we preach should be, this is how you come from where you are to where you're supposed to be. Here's the roadmap. Here's the Bible. Here's the roadmap. This is how you get there. Otherwise, what's the... You know, I can't base my life on a bunch of promises that I can't get. Oh, you listen to me. But how do I get that promise to work for me? That's why we teach like we do on giving. The only way you can get blessed is to sow. If you don't sow, you're not going to get blessed. I don't care what people say. Well, I believe. Okay, that's not enough. There's got to be faith with your action. There's got to be action with your faith. You got to do something. Amen. I believe in the anointing. Well, then do something with it. Give it away. You have an anointing within you. Give it away. You have something. Give it away. You got something. Give it away. Find somebody tomorrow that needs a touch. Just go ask people. Okay, man, is there anything I can pray with you for? Anything. You'll be surprised. Everybody needs prayer. Then you just start praying. Hello? I remember one day I was playing rugby back in South Africa. Rugby, for those that don't know what that is, it's a man's version of football. My brother Rodney and myself, we were playing on the same team, and he was actually a pastor in the town that we were in playing for rugby for that town. And somebody hit me real hard and knocked the wind right out of me, and I'm lying on the middle of the pitch, and my whole team come running around me. And I mean, I was like, listen, I kind of looked through and I saw faces all around me. I could hardly see the blue sky. They were all trying to see what was going on. And then all of a sudden, I felt this hand go on my belly and I heard tongues. There was my brother. He hopped into the group and put his hand on my belly and started praying in tongues. And then I was like this, and then all of a sudden, blue sky. The whole team, they freaked out. They ran away. They just run away, and then my brother's got his hand on me praying in tongues, and you know, within a couple of minutes, I was up about, and okay, man, let's go back and play rugby. But the team, they disappeared. Why? They were all heathens, and then suddenly the strange language starts coming out of my brother's mouth. They all freak out and run away. But you see, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and whatever was going on the inside of me, once he was done, it wasn't going on anymore. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what, there was a magistrate playing on that team. What do they call a magistrate in America? A judge. He was playing on the team. You know, he got born again. He became the praise and worship leader for the church. Hello? Guess what he did? He also spoke in tongues. Come on now. Amen. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We just take what we got and just give it away. We're about to give some away here right now. To some unsuspecting victims that are in the house.
Hallelujah.
I'd be a victim, praise God. Just get stirred up in the things of God. Get stirred up in the things of God. What God is doing in these meetings through these nights is incredible. It's amazing. Let me tell you what. I've been doing this for 23, 24 years now. We've never done meetings like we've done at Calvary, a Sunday and a Wednesday, Sunday and Wednesday. We normally build one day after the next. So this is you know, territory we've never been in. But let me tell you what. Normally it builds from one night to the next. I do not see a difference between Sunday night and Wednesday night, right, and Sunday night.
Right.
It's not like I have to come back on the Sunday night or come back on the Wednesday night and rebuild the thing up. I just pick up from where we left off on Wednesday night and we just keep going. That's amazing. That is amazing. I'm telling you right now. I believe it's part of that's to do with this young man on the front row here.
Amen.
Called Pastor Bob Nichols, who's kept this church in revival all these years. Thank God for pastors like this, because I can tell you right now, most ministers, they'll have a revival in their church, and then once you go, they go back to business as usual. And I've done that. I've been to churches where we've had a great move of God, 2-3 weeks, go back a month or two later, and it's like everybody's like, and I'm like, hey, people, it's me. I was here like, you know, 2 months ago. You remember that 3-week revival we had? And they're like, why? Because the preacher didn't keep it going. He didn't encourage the people. He didn't let the anointing of God flow. Hello. So this is not a common thing. I'm telling you right now, this is not something that happens every day. And I believe, just like Pastor Bob said, I believe this is a suddenly. I believe God's given us an opportunity.
Get ready.
And I believe he's wanting to do something really big.
Hallelujah.
And I feel like he's laying a foundation right now.
Yes.
And you know, unfortunately, You are the foundation. But there's a team that's coming out of this place that are going to be so full of the Holy Ghost, that are going to be so on fire for God, that I tell you what, I can see Fort Worth being shaken by the power of God. I can see that. I can see that. And I don't care for the naysayers, because they don't know who I know. Well, you know, Fort Worth is a big place. Mm-hmm, and I serve a big God. And when God breathes on us, it's all over, baby. It's all over. When God breathes on us, just get in line. Because He's about to do something.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come here, both of you. Come here right over here. Say, why did you pick on them? Because I felt like it. Right over here. Lift your hands to heaven. Lord, I thank you for the touch of heaven.
Yes.
Lord, let them feel a little bit what I've been feeling the whole meeting. Let them get some of this fire, Lord. There it is. Let them get some of this fire, Jesus. Ha-ha. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Right now, right now, right now. Right now.
Hallelujah.
Right now. Lord, turn up the heat in the kitchen. Turn up the heat in the kitchen, Lord. Turn up the heat in the kitchen, Lord. Let them never be the same. Let them never be the same. Let them never be the same. Hallelujah. Anybody else feel the fire, God, yeah? I mean, I've been feeling the fire all night. My ears are burning. My head's on fire. My hands are burning. I mean, I'm just a burning, burning, burning. My. I've been pressing through this all night. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come here, sir. Whatever you are, lift your hands to heaven. Close your eyes. Lord, I thank you right now.
Yes.
There it is. There it is. The fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost. I said, there, into you. Right 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 into you. Lord, let him never be the same. 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 Let him never be the same, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come here, dear lady. Second row, third row. Both of you ladies, come out here quickly. Second row, third row. Second row, third row. Come right over here quickly. Hallelujah, Jesus. So why are you picking on these people? Because I can. Lift your hands to heaven. Isn't it wonderful to show up to church and have a drink like this? Isn't that wonderful? Huh? It is, isn't it?